Well, at school, the children had their class picture taken, and the teacher was trying to persuade them to each buy a copy of the group picture. She said, "Just think how nice it will be to look at it years from now when all of you are grown up and say, 'There's Jennifer, she's a lawyer,' or 'That's Michael, he's a doctor,' 'That's Susie, she's a nurse.'" A small voice at the back of the room rang out, "And there's the teacher, she's dead." In today's gospel, the Lord predicts his own death. He says, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so the Son of Man will be lifted up." The only thing that is referring to, of course, is the crucifixion, when Jesus is lifted up on the cross. So the Lord is predicting his own death. He knew he was going to die for the sins of the world. As the great Bishop Sheen said, "We came into the world to live. Jesus came into the world to die for our salvation, to redeem the world." Take a look at this very powerful gospel we have today from St. John. And it has to do with the Lord's conversation with Nicodemus. You know, St. Patrick's Day is just 2 days away. And over in Ireland, they pronounce his name Nicodemus, okay? He's the only Irishman in the Bible. Now, Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was one of the 71 elders of the people, considered one of the chief teachers of Israel. And he comes to Jesus at night because he's afraid of the other members of the Sanhedrin finding out that he wants to become a follower of Christ. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night, and Jesus teaches him many things. And one of the things the Lord does is that he shows how in the Old Testament, just as Moses lifted up the serpent, so the Son of Man will be lifted up to die for the sins of the world. So what is the Lord referring to when he talks about the situation with Moses and the bronze serpent? Well, if you remember back in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, the Israelites are wandering through the desert, but they're very stubborn. They begin to complain. They begin to lose their faith. They begin to disobey God. And because of that, Scripture says the Lord allowed their camp to be invaded by poisonous serpents, poisonous snakes. Many of them were bitten. Some of them died. And because of their suffering, they repented. And they go to Moses and say, "We have offended God. What shall we do to be healed? What shall we do to be saved?" So then Moses, the mediator, the priest, he goes to God and says, "What should we do?" So God says, "Well, fashion a serpent out of bronze and hang it on a pole. Those who gaze upon it will be healed." Now, of course, there's nothing in looking at a bronze serpent that would medically cure somebody from snake bite, but it was an act of obedience, an act of faith, which made up for their disobedience and their lack of faith. And so Moses did make a serpent out of bronze, and he hung it up on a pole, and that would become a symbol of healing. The medical establishment has used this for centuries, the serpent on the pole as a symbol of healing. And so Moses did this, and the people that looked upon it were cured of the poison of their snake bite. Now the Lord compares himself to that bronze serpent, you know, because the serpent made of bronze looked like it had poison in it, but it did not. Jesus on the cross looked like a condemned criminal. He looked like a sinner, but he was not. He was the pure Lamb of God. He was the Holy One, even though he looked to everybody else walking by that he had filled with the poison of sin. But Jesus was innocent, but he died for us. And those who gazed upon Christ in faith on the cross were healed of the poison of sin. Remember the Roman centurion who thrust the Lord through the side with the lance? Out flowed blood and water. He said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." So he looked at Christ with faith, and he believed and was saved. And then think about St. Dismas. We call him the good thief. Even though the other thief was cursing and reviling Christ, St. Dismas, the good thief, says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus says, "I assure you, this day you'll be with me in paradise." So again, those who gazed upon Christ with faith and believed him and accepted him as the Son of God were cured of the poison of sin. That's the analogy between the serpent in the desert and Jesus up on the cross. So Jesus says, so that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life. And then the Lord now gives us perhaps the most important verse in all of Scripture. It's called John chapter 3, verse 16. You've seen it on license plates. You've seen it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life." If you had to pick one verse out of the entire Bible to summarize the entire Old and New Testament, it would be that. The world was in sin, and God loved us so much that he sent his own Son to die for us, that those who believe in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. Someone wrote a little reflection upon that, and it's called All the Greatest. And it says, "God, the greatest lover, so loved the greatest degree, the world, the greatest number, that he gave the greatest act, his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whoever, the greatest invitation, believes, the greatest prayer, in him, the greatest person, shall not perish, the greatest escape, but the greatest difference, have the greatest hope, eternal life, the greatest destiny." So that one verse reminds us of how much God loves us. And Mother Teresa said that if you ever doubt God's love for you, look at a crucifix. And there you'll see how much God loves you. Many of the saints have been so comforted by gazing upon the crucifix. When St. Louis de Montfort was dying, he was gazing upon the crucifix, uniting his sufferings to that of Jesus. St. Thomas Aquinas said he learned more from looking upon the crucifix than from reading any other book, because the crucifix is an encyclopedia of love. It reminds us how much God loves us. So whenever we see a crucifix, and as you know, there is one in every Catholic church throughout the world, because it reminds us of the greatest act of love by Jesus dying on the cross for us. And I encourage you also to have a crucifix in your own home. Every home, every Christian home should have a crucifix in the living room or dining room or some place where you'll see and be reminded of how much God loves you. And sometimes people say, "Why do you Catholics still have Jesus on the cross? Don't you know that he's been raised from the dead?" And of course we say, of course we know he's been risen from the dead. We celebrate Easter every year. But we don't want to forget the sacrifice that he made for us. That's why we have a cross. It's the same reason why you have a nativity scene in your church at Christmas. He's not a baby anymore either. But you want to be reminded of the time when Jesus became a little baby. Even though we know that Jesus is risen from the dead, we still love and reverence the crucifix. And having been a priest now for almost 25 years, I know that one of the most comforting things to give people when they're suffering is a crucifix. If you visit somebody in prison or a nursing home or a hospital or some of our homebound, one of the greatest things we can give them is a crucifix. Because when they look at that, they realize God is not a distant God. God is with us, that God became man and he suffered along with us. He knows what it's like to suffer. When Bishop Sheen would visit the leper colonies, he would give every leper a crucifix. That is such a powerful image to help people know how much God loves them. I encourage every time a couple gets married, we should give them a wedding gift of a crucifix whenever a couple gets married. Because if their marriage is going to last 25 or 50 or 60 years, They have to learn what sacrificial love is all about. Love is much more than feelings and emotions. I'm sure Jesus didn't feel like dying on the cross, but true love is much more than feelings. So if a couple is going to last 50 or 60 years, they have to learn how to love sacrificially. And the best image and the best example is Jesus on the cross.